Activity 3. From Cakes and Ale by W. Somerset Maugham. Please listen to the following extract from this famous novel, which was a bestseller in 1930. It is taken right from the beginning. Your task will be to reproduce the story in your own words, as indicated in your written course.
Cakes and Ale. I have noticed that when someone asks for you on the telephone, and finding you out, leaves a message begging you to call him up the moment you come in, and it's important, the matter is more often important to him than to you. When it comes to making you a present or doing you a favour, most people are able to hold their impatience within reasonable bounds. So when I got back to my lodgings with just enough time to have a drink, a cigarette, and to read my paper before dressing for dinner, and was told by Miss Fellows, my landlady, that Mr. Alroy Keir wished me to ring him up at once, I felt I could safely ignore his request. "Is that the writer?" she asked me. "It is." "Shall I get him?" "No, thank you." "What shall I say if he rings again?" "Ask him to leave a message." "Very good, sir." She pursed her lips. She took the empty siphon, swept the room with a look to see that it was tidy, and went out. Miss Fellows was a great novel reader. I was sure she had read all Roy's books. Her disapproval of my casualness suggested that she'd read them with admiration. When I got home again, I found a note in her bold, legible writing on the sideboard. "Mr. Keir rang up twice. Can you lunch with him tomorrow? If not, what day will suit you?" I raised my eyebrows. I had not seen Roy for 3 months, and then only for a few minutes at a party. He had been very friendly, he always was, and when we separated, he had expressed his hearty regret that we met so seldom. "London's awful," he said. "One never has time to see any of the people one wants to. Let's lunch together one day next week, shall we?" "I'd like to," I replied. "I'll look at my book when I get home and ring you up." "All right." I had not known Roy for 20 years without learning that he always kept in the upper left-hand pocket of his waistcoat the little book in which he put down his engagements. I was therefore not surprised when I heard from him no further. It was impossible for me now to persuade myself that this urgent desire of his to dispense hospitality was disinterested. As I smoked a pipe before going to bed, I turned over in my mind the possible reasons for which Roy might want me to lunch with him. It might be that an admirer of his had pestered him to introduce me to her, or that an American editor, in London for a few days, had desired Roy to put me in touch with him. But I could not do my old friend the injustice of supposing him so barren of devices as not to be able to cope with such a situation. Besides, he told me to choose my own day, so it could hardly be that he wanted me to meet someone else.